Amen. What a blessing. The music has been wonderful tonight. I thank you for being here. If you have your Bibles tonight, we do want to preach tonight. Amen. And take the Bible and go to 2 Timothy, if you would, chapter number 1. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. I want to speak to you tonight about the ABCs of ultimate freedom. The ABCs of ultimate freedom. I have some statements I wanted to make tonight at the beginning, and it's not my way really all the time to write them down, but I really love the red, white, and blue. I'm patriotic through and through, and sometimes when I think about things that they squeeze my heart, tears come out of my eyes, and I can't get the words out. And so tonight, I hope you forgive me for writing some things down that were thoughts of mine that I wanted to be able to read to you, so I made sure that they came out of me the way I wanted to say them. Amen. I want to remind us tonight, it is September 11th. We do call this Patriot Day for a reason. It was a day that reminded us of patriotism. In an age not too long ago when those that on both sides of the fence, and even after debate, I had some debate about some whether we are true patriots with the things that were debated. And folks, but I remember where I was on that fateful day, and I remember the reaction of so many people, because terrorists who attacked our nation, they attacked, and again, folks, I'm going to call it like it is. You can call them Al-Qaeda, but it was a religion, a false religion, one that teaches that it's okay to attack others and strike out at them. That Muhammad Muslim crowd that attacked us on that day came after us because they believe America is the great Satan. Right. Folks, anybody that has tried to do anything for God, and myself included, at some time you try to do it for God, including the Lord Jesus, was called a devil. Because anybody that tries to go and do right, when those that are being told they're doing wrong, they're going to call you demonic, yep, devil. And most of those folks don't have real religion. They have repetition. They have something that's not really real in their lives. They have something that they just roll over day by day. They don't pray to a God. They repeat words over and over again and feel like in that repetition that they've done something. And folks, I'm going to tell you, even in what they call that religion, and men who flew those planes into buildings, don't kid yourself, they inside the cockpit echoed a repeating phrase that they were taught to say, because some type of prayer was going to carry them on to what they believe is heaven. Folks, I'm going to tell you that there's only one prayer, and it's not pointed or repetition. It's one that calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that'll save your never-dying soul. That fateful day, as the planes flew and those that put it down, as they said in Pennsylvania, nearly 3,000 souls went to heaven that day. It was the greatest. Listen, 6,000 people, more than 6,000 people, were wounded and still bear those scars and wounds in their flesh today because of this day. It was the greatest attack and devastation on American soil that has ever happened. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes it takes till we come to this day. But folks, just let me remind you that day, the reaction as the attack, see, they focused on what America oftentimes, when it gets away from God, focuses on, and that's their wallet, the almighty dollar. And they tried to strike at the heart of our nation, at what they thought the great Satan loved more than anything else, and that was called the World Trade Centers, the center of the almighty dollar and the flowing of cash. And folks, I'm going to tell you, there were some in that day, it might not have been wrong. But it was that fateful day that turned so many Americans to see that they needed God. Amen. Many of them turned back to God on that day, our church included, and we reminded of those days. But I just want to remind you, and just this Patriots Day, we honor the memories with unwavering resolve and remembrance. I'll just say to the families and friends of those who perished in the towers in New York, in Arlington, Virginia, or in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, not only do we continue to pray for you, but like you, we will never forget. I believe it's important for us tonight to honor those first responders who risked their lives to save others and those who paid the ultimate sacrifice in a hope and desperation to further and save American lives. Folks, we pray for them. We honor them. I don't know if we could in any other way. You know, in other places, people have a moment of silence. But tonight, I don't want to have a moment of silence. I want to have a moment of praise. And I'm thankful for what they did. I'm thankful for their lives. I honor their sacrifice. And every day as Americans, not just this day, we should honor their sacrifice by being the nation that we truly are and not one that turns constantly back to the dollar or to our own devices, but one that God allowed us to be created to be, and that is a Christian nation. We best honor those that with Christian moral values who put their brother as in the golden rule above their own lives and their own personal needs and went out for them. We ought to honor them by living daily by the Word of God. We ought to live daily in such a way that people can see the ABCs of ultimate freedom in our lives. I want you to see in the scripture tonight, it's an unusual passage to use, but I really believe that this is where God would have us be tonight. And if you're here tonight, just let me say, I don't want to be coy in any way. If you're here tonight without Christ, the answer to your eternal problems is calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. The ABCs are not coy. They're just trying to get you to focus in, to realize the simplicity. God did not make salvation hard. He didn't try to hide it from you. He sent His Son from heaven. He is told of stories, and many of you celebrate Christmas to celebrate His birth. You pass presents around, and in many ways we realize that it signifies a gift that came from God in the form of His Son. And His Son coming was not the greatest gift. It was when His Son lived the perfect life and laid His life down on Calvary and paid a debt that you could not pay yourself. For us, we don't often think about it in those terms, but really, it is hard for me to believe, because I still don't think of myself as an old man, that some 23 years ago, I stood in a field and my wife called me and said, "Do you know what's going on?" And we went to find some place for lunch that we could get a television or something and see all of the things, the tragedy, and we didn't understand what was going on or how long it would last, but it was clear that our nation was being attacked. And folks, whether we believe it or not, sometimes, you know, it takes something like that to wake us up to the fact that we're living our lives without God, that we're living our lives for ourselves and not for the One who gave everything and sacrificed everything that we might have ultimate freedom. The scripture in the passage tonight, Paul speaks to Timothy under the inspiration of God. It's his preacher boy. It's somebody that he loves. It's his son in the faith. He cares for them. For many of us, we don't often think about that, but we call a lot of the writings of George Washington and others that we hold in esteem our founding fathers. If we could look back, and if we were to look into scripture tonight, when I read this passage, I think of Paul as one of the founding fathers of our faith. Someone who God used greatly. It was someone who ran from God and tried to do it his own way, and many of us can see it. But then when he finally accepted Jesus Christ, He was everything. I mean, he gave everything for the cause of Christ. And here he writes to Timothy, and in the second letter, as he grows closer to his end and he is trying to pass on some things, he reminds him of some things. And I want you to see, and I feel like we could start later in the passage, but I want you to read with me in verse 6. He says, wherefore, he's referenced in verse 5. What he's referencing with wherefore is that Timothy did not just have this faith start with him, but that his mother and grandmother were men or were people of faith, and that it's been passed on to him, and that he, in verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He's calling him because he's his preacher boy. He says, I recall this gift that's in you. And look at verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let me just tell you that God didn't attack the towers. God did not attack. I preached Sunday morning that God is for us. Let me tell you, God did not put in the mind or in the heart of any terrorist to come and to slam planes into any of our buildings or any tower. Sometimes when we think about God using a tragedy in our lives to bring us back and closer to Him, we think that somehow He, because He's God and He's over all, that somehow He worked. Let me just remind you tonight that people sin and sinners do evil things. But we have a God in Romans 8:28 that can take all things and use them together for good to them that love the Lord, that are called according to His purpose. And tonight we meet and we don't have to have a spirit of fear. We don't worry about what will hit some building or some other building and who's going to come after us, because the Spirit of God, because of the ABCs of ultimate freedom, I rest today in the freedom as an American that I can go and go as come as I please, and I live in a free land. But listen, it's not that that gives me ultimate peace. It's not that the night that I feel gives me power. It's not that tonight that doesn't allow me. Listen, I have no fear of eternity tonight because the Spirit of God dwells inside of me because I accepted Jesus as my Savior a long time ago, and He came in and sealed me. And I have, listen, the spirit of fear left that day. I want you to just know, I have that. He says that you don't, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. There's no time, and anything that happened on 9/11 was God's will for you to happen. It was God trying to rescue people. And if there was any kind of will, it was those that ran in and tried to save others. It was Christian-like acts that happened after those that had sinned and taken action upon our nation and killed people on the plains and on the ground and on buildings. They had a spirit of fear. And they used that fear to attack us. Folks, we don't need to have a spirit of fear. That did not come from God. What we have from God, our God hath given us a spirit of power. When you get saved, you may think, I don't understand how somebody tells somebody else about Jesus Christ. I don't understand how you're bold and that you know that you're saved. If you were saved, you would, because the power of God inside of you, when you said, am I saved? There would be no question inside of deep in your soul. There would be a power inside of you that would echo, yes, I am. Yes, you are. I'm the Holy Spirit of God, and I'm giving you my stamp of approval that you accepted the sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ, for your payment on the cross, and He paid for you. There's no fear in that, only power. Folks, I'm telling you, I have no power in myself to save myself, but there was one that had power to lay His life down. And if you don't think He had power to raise it back up. And he's not dead today. He lives forevermore. Spirit of power. How about this one? Not just the spirit of power, but of love. Folks, I'm going to tell you that, you know, there was probably not a whole lot of love down in the middle of New York City moments before everything happened. New Yorkers being who New Yorkers were, they didn't mean anything by it. They're just abrasive. No offense. Okay? No offense to anybody that's from New York down there, all right? I'm just going to tell you. But again, you know, it's like Philadelphia, the city of brotherly shove. Right? I mean, if they win the Super Bowl, they burn the city. If they lose the Super Bowl, they burn the city. It just, you know, that's what they do. It's a city of brotherly love. Hey, I just want to tell you tonight that man, oftentimes without God, doesn't show a whole lot of love. But what signifies you and I being Christian is the love of God inside of us, having a love for the brethren. It's a power that I did not possess before I possessed Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, of power and of love. And let me just say this. I mentioned the debate earlier. I will not derail myself and go off on a tangent, but I'll just say that Spirit is one of a sound mind. We live in a day and age, and I cannot understand what would bring anybody to try to take the lives of people in a foreign land with an airplane. Folks, that didn't just happen on one day. I don't know how many of you can go back in your minds, but it wasn't too far from here, right over here in Bartow, that some of them trained to take off and they were not worried about landing it. They wanted to know how to fly a plane, but they weren't worried about putting it back down. And folks, I'm just telling you, they didn't just get behind that pilot seat. They had a plan and they ran after their plan and a purpose, and then they executed that. Folks, I'm just telling you, for all of us, we have to have a sound mind. If we're not careful, we'll lose our track of thought. We'll lose our track of mind of what the true cause and what true freedom is. It's not just what we have here in this country that only lives as long as you will live on this side of heaven. But there's an ultimate freedom, one that somebody came, and I'm thankful for the red-blooded Americans and those that are on this Patriot Day that we mark, that in themselves had heroic and, I mean, praiseworthy pride in this nation and stood up and did what others would never do, and they ran in when others ran out. And we can look at that day and say, that is great. But listen, you and I, none of us had the power to run in to hell and to take the keys to death and hell and run back out and to save a people and to give them ultimate freedom. But Jesus came from heaven and under power that I never knew until I got saved, came down and lived a perfect life and laid his life down and went down and took the keys to death and hell. And listen, if you want to call, a great and powerful day, it was the great victorious day of all the ages when Jesus rose up on the third day and walked out of the tomb and said, victory to all that will call upon my name. We sometimes look at this day of Patriots Day and we think the victory was won when we took out Osama bin Laden. And I'm sorry for all of you that are too sensitive to think about people that hurt us, that we take them out. I'm just telling you today that, listen, if you hit us, you say, that's not the golden rule. Folks, I'm just telling you, I'm a patriot. Amen. I don't even like getting punched. I don't mind us punching first. Hey, I'm just telling you, we've got to come to a place where we have a sound mind and realize that patriots and people, a personal sacrifice of those that have come before us, we ought to have a national pride. We ought to have a love, but we ought to also come to a place where the sound mind that we realize that this is not the end. That this nation and what we have and the goodness of God on this side of heaven is not everything. It's only a piece or a taste of what true freedom really is. I want you to see it in the scripture, and I've taken too much time. Skip with me to verse number 10, and I want you to see it tonight. But is now made manifest. Can I just say this? That this soul-winning power, this love from heaven, this sound mind that it can give you and I only came through Jesus Christ. But when he says here, was made manifest. That means that the manifest means that it's something that now we can see clearly that there was a plan. A manifest means there were structured actions, and a manifest says this is what's in the cargo. This is what's in the hold. This is what's in the truck. This is what everybody, when you pull, if you're a police officer and you pull somebody over, you want to see their manifest. Let me know where you came from, where you're going, and what's in the truck. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolish death. If you're going to take ABCs of the ultimate freedom, write down that in the manifest of ultimate freedom, if you could say this, by the appearing of Jesus Christ, there was the abolishment of death. Amen. Folks, I'm just going to tell you tonight, There never was a time or any manifest that ever was able to put on that, I'll abolish death. The last enemy, we think of all the, Osama bin Laden and the Taliban and anybody else that's ever raised their ugly head up. Listen, all of them will fade off the scene and they'll be gone. But the last enemy of the Christian, the believer, will be death. But he is already a defeated foe. Jesus Christ has already conquered death. And you and I have the ability, because he abolished it. Do you know that, realize that, listen, you say, well, people still die. Yes, people still die. But listen, a single death or the body, it's not the death of the entire soul and what we have for eternity. The Bible speaks in Revelation 21:8 of a second death. One that happens for where our soul goes for eternity. And it will either go to heaven or it will go to hell. But Jesus took your hell and my hell for us. And rose again from the grave and abolished death. That means that he made a way that you don't have to see that place, that you don't have to have the second death, that you don't have to be second dead. Do you know what that means? That means you will spend, listen, that means you go in your payment. That means you as a sinner, you're going to pay for your sin. That means you as a sinner are going to enter a devil's hell. And folks, I'm going to tell you, whether you think your sins are great or your sins are, listen, there's either freedom or there is an imprisonment in the devil's hell. There's not a certain day that you'll be rolled out and you'll be put on parole. Nobody like the Catholic Church is going to pray you up out of there. There's no place in between that's trying to figure out or weigh your good actions with your bad actions like purgatory. There is hell or heaven, and you will bust one of those places wide open. And I just plan on going up instead of down. I plan on going up and busting heaven wide open and entering the gate with a great big woo! Hey, I believe sometimes we're just like, we don't realize what we got when we got ultimate freedom. That God abolished death and put it away. I want you to see, secondly, he didn't just abolish death, but he hath brought life. You realize when he put death down, he had to pick something up. Nothing. There's no vacuum in this place. When he took away and abolished death, he put in and locked into your soul and into my soul, when he put away death, that B of ABCs of ultimate freedom, he locked into your soul that he brought with him life. And according to this book, it's not just life, it's life more abundant. And if I could just take a minute to testify of what it is to live the Christian life after I was saved, there's no better life to live. It is not just if I could say it like this, I didn't wait. I'm not waiting on ultimate freedom. Preacher, can I just tell you and testify? I've been living ultimate freedom since I turned 15 years old. And I called upon the name of the Lord and I got saved. There's not been a spirit of fear inside of me. I've been able to know that I know that I know where I'm going. I've not just been knowing that, but man, I had a love that I could never have before. This ultimate freedom lets me love every brother in Christ. Hey, folks, sometimes those around us aren't lovable. But I got a power to love. And folks, I'm so glad today that when I watch the television and people talk about spending their way out of debt, I think that's stupid. Because I got a sound mind, the power of a sound mind. When people talk crazy talk about politics, I go, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But I do realize there are still people today lost in their sins. And with the way they calculate things or the way they think is not sound, it's crazy. Because all they got is some earthly freedom. And to them, freedom isn't capitalism. Freedom is some kind of communism. Take from the rich and give to the poor. They mask it in all kinds of different ways. And when it doesn't work for them, they cry racism. Hey, don't get upset. You came tonight. I'm just telling you, when I got ultimate freedom, I got eyes like Jesus had. And I didn't see race or creed or people. I saw love and a sound mind that everybody needs to be saved. That Jesus died for everybody. And that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He goes through this and says, and immortality to light. I do not have time to preach on the blessing. I do not understand yet. But preacher, immortality. The deepest crevices of my soul long for immortality. My soul inside this body does not age. As my strength weakens and my eyes dim, my soul longs for immortality. And I realize that when Jesus stepped out of the tomb, really, folks, I would trust him when he said it was finished. But he proved it when he stepped out of the tomb. Can I just tell you tonight that he brought back with him life, and he brought it in the form of immortality. One day, I'll stand in his likeness. I won't just float around like a spirit. There's a body made for me, and that body is immortal. There'll be a covering, not the one you see today, but one that is made in the heavens that God made with his own hands. I long for that place. Every ache and pain reminds me of ultimate freedom. Every trouble and every trial reminds me that this is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And on a Patriot Day, somebody, listen, I'm just going to tell you, you know that sometimes we don't realize, you know, I really believe as Americans, we're not as thankful as we ought to be because our nation has given us one of the very best pictures of what true, eternal, and ultimate freedom really is, where the rest of the world would just give everything to have what we have here, where the rest of the world would leave everything behind. And for a chance to live on this side of heaven in freedom, they would risk it all. And for those of you and I that were born in it, sometimes we're not thankful. But I just want you to understand, because God knew that we would be apathetic, because God knew we would be unthankful, I can imagine like David that Jesus Christ in heaven, when the angel said, please don't go, please don't leave us, please don't suffer and die for the sins of the world. Send me. He said, you can't go. He said, is there not a cause? And like those on 9/11, that for a cause of freedom, for the cause of American lives, they ran into a place. Listen, the lives of every nation, every soul that would ever be born, Jesus left heaven. And came, and instead of a flag with stars and stripes, he come to bore a cross. In his body, he bore the stripes. With his blood, he stained everything with crimson. For those of us who today are thankful for what we have, we ought to be more thankful for what he's given us, because there was a cause. And then he says here in verse 12, for the which cause. See the cause? The ABCs, the cause of Christ. The C is really Christ. But it's so helpful for me to realize that I have a cause that I can enter into as well. I also suffer these things. Folks, you know, if time goes on, it will not be the last attack on our country. This election won't be the last attack on Christianity. And we will suffer. But Paul really knew what suffering was. And I like how he states this. When he mentions suffering these things, he says, nevertheless. That sounds like courage to me. That sounds like resolve. That sounds like, hey, Timothy, for the remembrance of the things that have come before you, nevertheless, I Look, he says, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Can I ask you today? I believe everybody in here has got red, white, and blue on. There's not one person ashamed of what country you dwell in and you are from. But are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? I'm proud to be an American, but even more tonight, I'm proud to be a Christian. He says here, I am not ashamed, for I know. Why am I ashamed not to be a Christian? For I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. Listen, I could preach the whole message here, but just let me ask you this. If you know in whom you have believed, then how could you ever be ashamed? How could you ever lay down the cause that you once picked up for the cause of Christ? Let me see this. Look at it. Look tight to the scripture. For I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That day. Folks, today we honor those that lost their lives, those that gave their lives for the worst day in American history. But you'll have a worse day someday. You'll have a day that you face that will be a day of great tragedy in your life. But it doesn't have to be a day of great tragedy. It could be a day of great victory. Instead of a day where you face all the sins of this life, a day that you will face the worst tragedy or devastation that you've ever known when you go to a devil's hell, instead of that, if you realize that Jesus abolished death and that Jesus brought life and immortality, and you call upon his name, do you know that day will be a day of victory? That'll be a day that you cross over the swelling tide and that you walk in and see Jesus face to face. And on a day that the whole world will look at as like their worst day, it doesn't have fear for you. It's not going to sting like everyone else's death is going to sting. By the way, for me, I'm hoping that I don't see death. You know, because it's a spirit of fear. And you know there's a spirit of love. You know one of the things the Bible talks about is loving his appearing. I'm not looking to die. I'm looking for Jesus to appear. Everything that needs to be taken care of in according to the scripture has passed by. The next thing on God's calendar is the appearing of Jesus Christ. Folks, do you love his appearing? You can't if you don't have your salvation settled. You can. But tonight, let me ask you this. Do you know in whom you have believed? You may be a Christian here, but your confidence has not waned because you haven't really got to know the one who saved you. You haven't put time in to spend time with him. And in your soul, when you have fear, it's because you don't realize just how big or just what you got when you got saved. You don't realize how much you're loved. You don't realize, I mean, it's hard for us. You don't realize how much of a sound mind you could have if you spent a little time in God's word. I'll just say this tonight in closing. The greatest decision you'll ever make in your life is to accept Jesus as your Savior and to receive ultimate freedom. Because just like I, as a citizen of this nation, some of you, you went through a process and you are proud just like I am to be an American, but you went through a process. Folks, somebody had to tell me that I was an American. I was born here. I was born with all the privileges and the rights because God just gave me the blessing of being born here. Folks, can I just tell you, I didn't do any work to be born. I didn't do anything but just show up. God took care of it. Mom took care of it. The doctor took care of it. I just showed up. You know, tonight, salvation is so simple. You just have to be born into God's family. Ultimate freedom is just like your citizenship. It comes from birth. You can be born into God's family, and you don't have to be from His country. He'll make you a member of His country. You just have to come and accept Him as your Savior. You just have to call upon His name tonight. And if you're here and you've never done it, I beg you, don't leave here without the ultimate freedom of salvation through Jesus Christ. If you're saved tonight and God convicted your heart of being apathetic or ashamed of your Christianity, let this Patriots Day mark a day in your life that every 9/11 you realize the tragedy of a life lived without putting Christ first. And it won't just have a singular meaning for those here, but one that's spiritual to you. And along with honoring those that laid down their lives and those that perished in the attack, you'll realize there was a day that Jesus gave me victory. For those of you that need to be saved, well, what a day to be able to remember and mark your salvation. That you know, and whom you have believed. Folks, I'm persuaded tonight that the only way, the only truth, the only life is found in Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, would you stand to your feet? I do not want to wait, but I'll ask you to hasten this way. If you are here and you're not saved, would you come this way? Not waiting another minute. We will have musicians that come and play softly, and Brother Bert will sing, but I would love to meet you right in the front and take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're here and you're a Christian and maybe God spoke to your heart, why don't you do business with Him? Either in your seat and just talk to Him, or make your way down to this old-fashioned altar and say, God, I love You. And I want to come back to You, and I want to live in victory, not in the spirit of fear, but one of love and power and of a sound mind. As Brother Bert sings, would you step out and come?